Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here. You're watching Crossing the Spotlight, coming right up. Let me read you something out of my book, the Daniel Study Guide right here. And Doc is in the studio. We're going to talk about Daniel chapter 10 and 11 today. And something real exciting that Doc has brought out. And let me read you just a couple things by way of introduction here. God is not finished with his chosen people, Israel. Regardless of all this hype going on and this anti-Israel and that those aren't the Jews over there, these people don't know what they're talking about. God is not finished with Israel, his chosen people. Ezekiel's bones have already stood upon their feet, Ezekiel 36 and 37. Yet they are still awaiting the spiritual breath from God to be breathed into them. That's going to happen probably the middle of the tribulation. This will, and that's what I wrote here. There's much sorrow yet to come before that happens. And chapter 11 in Daniel explains the vision that Daniel spoke of in Daniel chapter 10 in verse 1. In that vision, he was much troubled by what he saw. He certainly saw many atrocities and tragic things coming upon his people. However, there is some good to come as well. Doc's going to explain, help us with this. He's going to show us there are two prophecies here. There's the one about Epiphanes coming in, I think, 167 B.C. or something like that. But that Antiochus Epiphanes is also a type of the end time during the tribulation and the Antichrist. And Doc will bring that out in a minute here. So get ready. We'll be right back. As soon as the music's over, we'll be right back. Greetings, everybody. Glad to have you with us for today's show. Don't forget my brand new book, The Summary of the Bible, is available now. You can order it from the website or call the 800 number and say, hey, I want that book on The Summary of the Bible. It's just 68 pages and be very helpful to you. Don't forget, we are a viewer-supported program. This June will be 6 years that we've been on television here, especially CTN. 6 years ago this June. We need your help. We're viewer supported, and we're only here because of the gifts of God's people. And all right, Doc, the book of Daniel, chapter 10, chapter 11, mostly mm-hmm. chapter 11, I think that you're yes. dealing with here. And but as you said, I think 9, 10, 11, 12 all kind of go together.
They all go together. They are together.
And I wrote this study guide, and I'll tell you what I learned when I wrote this, Doc. I learned that I didn't know Daniel as well as I thought yeah. I did until I started having to explain each chapter. Yeah. And so you're gonna help us a little bit more with that. And you've got some materials that she'll put up as we go. Mm-hmm. You have a DVD and a CD set
sure.
that goes with this.
Goes along
and,
the line.
And my Daniel study guy, she's not going to put that up. But it's if you folks don't have this, you can order it as well. And so... why does this portion of Daniel, chapter 11, get your attention because of what's going on right now with Persia? Why does Daniel 11 right. get your attention?
Well, first of all, we need to establish that the Bible doesn't call any of it Iran. He always calls it Persia.
Yeah.
And when you are in the section of Daniel chapter 9 through chapter 12, you are seeing the battle that took place there between Gabriel, and he said, I've been here 3 months, 3 weeks sooner, but I'm
21 days.
I've been dealing with the Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, folks, we're still dealing with the Prince of Persia. The demonic powers that are behind what we call Iran today are still there, and there's still a spiritual battle. We are seeing a physical battle, dropping bombs and missiles and all of the things that we're doing. But the real battle is no different than the one in chapters 9, 10, and 11, 12. in the book of Daniel. It's between the forces of righteousness and the forces of the demonic world. And it seems like that there's a stronghold there that the devil's got such a power over. Mm. And so what I'm seeing is our attention is brought to this portion of the Middle East. Now, it all revolves around their desire to destroy Israel. But I'm seeing the side effects, maybe I call it that. But what are we hearing? NATO doesn't want to have any part in it. Oh, they don't like it that Iran's who they are. They don't like it what's happening. And they agree, boy, that nuclear thing needs to be stopped and all that. But what I'm seeing is something is happening to cause a transition in the world politically. And I think that we're getting ready to see the European Union all of a sudden realize we have got to get our act together. And that I'm convinced, I've always believed that the Antichrist is coming out of, we call it the revived Roman Empire. I'm not so sure it needs to be revived, but as if it had never has ceased to exist, because it has continued to exist. Right. But they have depended, NATO has depended on our tax dollars, our military, and all that we have provided for. All of a sudden, this battle with Persia is causing a rift politically and militarily in the world. And then yesterday, as according from today's recording, Orban is now no longer going to be the leader of Hungary.
I saw that.
Hungary was the only NATO nation in Europe that was friendly toward Russia. The globalists have got their man in there. Now we're seeing everybody is on the same page. And the Bible talks about, in Daniel chapter 11, it talks about, and we need, we'll come back to it, but it talks about the king of the north, the king of the south, and the king of the east. Then it talks about a prince. And this prince is going to do battle. Well, let me ask you, if we've got the east taken up and the west, the north taken up and the south.
I'm ahead of you on that. He's the west.
This is why I have always used, since a boy, my uncle was a great teacher in prophecy that I grew up under as a young boy, and I've always used the term that the Antichrist is seen as the king of the West. Because the other three positions, it's obvious. The South is the Islamic Caliphate. The East is underneath the direction of China. The North is under the direction of Russia. But when you come to chapter 11, the first 20 verses talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. I don't think the king of the north there is the same as the king of the north in the end days, because the battles that take place in the first half or the first 20 verses of chapter 11 are historically prophetic fulfillments to us today. That's what was being given to Daniel in the first 20 verses. What we would see is history and the battles between the Seleucids and Ptolemies, between the division, because in reality, the first 13 verses, verses 1 through 13, takes you through the time from the Persian to the Greek Empire. I mean, it's all laid out for you there. Then in verse number 14 through verse number 20, you go from the Greek Empire all the way through to Antiochus the IV of Phinehas.
And that's the Roman Empire.
That brings you then to the Roman Empire. It's all laid out. And it's amazing. It's all 366 years of time is laid out in the first 20 verses, fulfilled to the detail. So that tells me, if nothing else, If God could give to Daniel these details, and we can now look at history and see they were fulfilled just exactly step by step by step, well, then I can take what takes place in verse 21 through the through verse 45, which I'm concerned, I believe, is future. I think just like many of the things, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Well, we get the 490-year prophecy. 483 of those years have passed. Mm-hmm. The seven years are yet to go. Look at the time that's been between those two times.
Yeah.
A gap of time. I'm convinced there's a gap of time between verse 20 and the following part of chapter 11.
So you think the middle of the chapter in Daniel 11 mm-hmm. is a switch. It's using the same story, but it's showing it in a prophetic sign of the Antichrist.
Of the Antichrist, because it's going to pick you up in Daniel verse 21, and he says, "And in his state shall stand a vile person." And we know that in even the New Testament, he's referred to as a man of sin and wicked. And so I'm convinced that verse 21, because if you look at it, and I've got it written out in bigger print so I can see it, and in his state shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And look at verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And there's some great parallels concerning this prince and the one that's mentioned in chapter 9.
And you mentioned before we came on the air, we were talking, you said there's only two places in the Bible where the word prince and covenant are mentioned together.
Together. That's exactly
true. This is
true.
One of them, and the other is what you're talking about.
They're in chapter 9 and here.
And it's talking about the same event, kind of.
Yes. Let me give you the comparisons. And we find the Antichrist horn in Daniel chapter 7.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 8. Now, the vile person in Daniel chapter 9, they're all the same. So let me give you seven things. First of all, they persecute God's people. Daniel 9:27 and Daniel 11:32-34. Secondly, for a time, two times, and a half a time in Daniel 7:25 and Daniel chapter 12. This is all a part of it's a second set of visions to help Daniel understand what he had seen in chapter 7 and 8. Now this is giving more detail or understanding. Let me give you number 3. He's going to profane the temple. Daniel chapter 11. Same thing in Daniel chapter 8, verse 11. Then number 4, he's going to set up the abomination. Daniel 11:31. Daniel 8, chapter 13. And he's going to remove the continual sacrifice. Daniel chapter 8, verse 11, and here in chapter 11, verse 31. And number 6, he's going to use deceit. Daniel 9:25, Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. And then seventh thing, he's going to magnify himself. We find that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 11, and again in chapter 11, verse 36, 37. Yeah. So we are talking about, after verse 21, we are talking about the Antichrist of the end times. We're not talking about Phinehas. So what happened in the first 20 verses is history. And it is what we call dual prophecy.
Because in Daniel's day, it wasn't history, it was coming.
It was a coming. But to us, we can see that.
So that same story has a secondary prophecy.
Exactly.
About Antichrist being a type of Or I guess Antichus being the type of Antichrist.
And what he did in the pollution of the altar, and even they were setting up, you know, even the Romans set up, you know, Zeus and all these things, all that in the temple. Well, that's what the Antichrist. So all of that is showing us that this is actually going to be fulfilled ultimately by the Antichrist in the end times.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's just plain as day. When you go to verse 21, you are when he comes in peaceably. Let me ask our followers, our listeners, a question: what's Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? We call that the man of what?
Sin.
No, yeah, but he's the man of peace on a white horse.
Yeah.
But he is the man of sin, yes. But he's coming in on a white horse peaceably. And I believe that you can start in verse 21 and you can walk your way through the rest of the chapter and you can walk your way through the book or through the last 7 years, the tribulation. Because when you get to the last verse, it says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain.
So
yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him.
Yeah.
That's the end of him. So I believe chapter verse 21 through verse 45, you can walk your way through the end time scenario of the tribulation period.
Yeah.
And the details are in there. And it all revolves around the covenant. We find the covenant many times mentioned. The verse 22, he's the prince of the covenant. Now, there's a lot of people, let's stop here and see. Now, there's a lot of people that want to link this to Christ. They want to say that this is talking about Jesus. What I've discovered in reading after some of those people, they are usually what we call historists. They believe that all of this was fulfilled in 70 AD.
Yeah.
They do not see that this prince is not the prince of peace, though he claims to be on the white horse a man of peace. We know that he's not. He's a man of sin. It's a covenant. And we find that the word covenant also is found not only in Daniel, but in other places. But when you come to Daniel 9:24 through 27 and Daniel chapter 11, verse 22, it's the only two places where you find the prince connected to the covenant.
Prince and the covenant.
No other place in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced. Everybody keeps talking about a peace treaty that's going to, they all say there's going to be a peace treaty that starts the tribulation. No, it's the confirming of the covenant.
The covenant.
And everywhere when you find covenant in your Bible, it's amazing that the word covenant always refers to the covenant between God and his people. It does not have anything to do with a peace treaty that's going to be the starting point. No, it is the confirming of the covenant by the prince, not only chapter 9, 27, but in chapter 11, verse 22.
This is one of the things we've been taught wrong all
I'm
of our
convinced
life.
We have.
All of us have
Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't. My uncle was straight on this 60 years ago because I'm 70, almost 78.
Now, you brought out When our set was over there, and we had the books behind us, that's the first time you brought out the covenant is only worded that way in the King James Bible.
That's right, it is.
All the other Bibles, it doesn't say the covenant.
Nope.
It says a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant means something. It's specific. It's talking about a specific covenant.
And, well, it is. I'm convinced, and it's the covenant that God made with his people.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I believe that goes back to Abraham's covenant that God gave him in chapter 12 of Genesis.
I'm convinced it is.
And
how else would he be able to deceive on such a great scale even the rabbinical part in Israel for this? Oh, it's the covenant. Oh, we're going to have our temple again.
Now, this understanding, this difference in a covenant or a peace treaty and confirming the covenant that God made with Abraham and the Jewish people, ultimately the Jewish people, changes what this means. Everyone's looking for a peace treaty. Now, there may be some peace involved in this thing.
Well, let me ask you. So if we're going to have peace and we're at war and we really want a peace, now I'm going to sign. Let's agree we're going to have peace for only 7 years.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Makes zero sense. No. We know it's 7 years because the Bible tells us it's 7 years.
Yeah.
That hasn't anything to do with the covenant.
Yeah.
Because God's covenant is still going to work all the way through the millennial reign.
Yeah.
And so, but let's pick it back. Go ahead.
And let me just say this about that. The Antichrist comes on the scene. He confirms the covenant. And that's what Daniel 9 says is the beginning of the 70th week. Mm-hmm. It happens with the confirming of the covenant, not a peace treaty, the confirming of the covenant. Mm-hmm. We know that the Antichrist is the one that's going to make this confirmation. Now the question is, now that we understand it's not a peace treaty, it's the Antichrist admitting to the world and to Israel this because that covenant's about property.
That's right.
This land belongs to the Jew.
That's right.
It's almost like he's stepping on the scene, ending a conflict, and saying, look, enough is enough. Time out.
That's because he's peace, and he's coming in with flatteries.
It's time that we put an end to this hatred of the Jews and this fighting with Israel over this property. It's time that the world acknowledges this property belongs to these people, the Jews.
Well, let's stop for just a minute and let's think. What is really happening right now in the Middle East? We say, oh, it's a war against them. No, it's not. It's all about money. It's all about finances. What are we doing? We're going to control how much oil, where the oil flows, or the oil flows not. Who gets the oil? What's all of this? Let me read to you. Verse 24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Now, Dan, I don't believe President Trump's the Antichrist at all. But I am watching the format being laid out.
The stage is being set by him.
For the Antichrist to do. You're watching it happen right now. No leader has ever not absorbed everything for themselves. But this leader is going to make it so everybody gets a share. What has President Trump also set up? A board of what?
Board of peace.
Oh. I'm telling you, the stage is being set. I was telling you a while ago, jokingly, if I was a mid-tribulation guy or a post-rapture guy, I'd probably say, yeah, I know who it is. Boy, here's where we are. But I know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But I can see that what is happening is following the prophetic format laid out. The stage is being set by President Trump right now in the Middle East in opposition to Persia, this very thing that the Bible says this Antichrist individual is going to do. We don't have time. Time is going to run out. But in verse 27, it says, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. What do we do? We're watching these people right now set the stage for, we're going to tell you what we're going to do, but we're not going to do it. We're going to tell you what we'll do, but we're really not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where we are. The stage is being set. And then it says in verse 27, and yet the end shall be at the time appointed. But all of these are showing that it's getting ready for a time that's been appointed. When is that time appointed? I think it's the appointed time of the tribulation. And in verse 29, at the time appointed. I mean, it goes over and over many times. But look in verse number 30. It says in the middle, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could not see. This is not talking about an Antichrist with some kind of a peace deal for 7 years. This is dealing with the holy covenant.
Yeah.
I don't think the angel is giving Daniel code words. I think he's giving him explicit what he's talking about here. And he goes on and ends it, and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. That's Israel. Israel has forsaken the holy covenant. I'm convinced God is willing to stand by. God's probably saying to Israel, if you guys had just come back to what we agreed to, I'm already here.
Yeah. You know, there's some attributes that I mentioned in my study guide, Daniel study guide, that we get about this Antichrist. Because in the second part of chapter 11, like you said, he's moved on from history to future prophecy.
Yes, it is.
And there are attributes here about this man that's going to be the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Neither shall he regard the God of his father.
That's right.
That can mean several things, but he'll also not have the desire of women. Now that, I don't think that's talking about a homosexual. I don't think that's what it's about.
Well, I can tell you exactly what that's about. That's very plain. I've got it in my three end time God CD. I can tell you what's about. When Daniel was writing, what was the desire of the woman? To have a male heir for her husband.
Yeah.
But in the time of the Antichrist, the world will be more consumed with birth control and abortions.
Yeah.
That's just a sign of the end times, what he's talking about.
Nor will he regard any god.
Yep.
For he shall magnify himself. So he's going to magnify himself above all.
Yep.
I mean, that sounds a lot like the guy we have, but again, he's
I'm
leading
telling
the way.
You, he's setting the pattern.
And I like it. I'm glad he's our president. Yeah. I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying these are some attributes. In his estate shall he honor the God of forces.
Yep.
And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and on and on.
That's my three end time gods. These are the mechanisms that will be used to control the world under a one world leader.
And that's where we are today, folks. What's going on in the Middle East? I mean, keep your eyes open. And it sure looks like we're near the end. I hope that you're ready for that. I hope that you're ready for that trumpet to sound, because ready or not, here he comes.
Amen.
He's going to take us out of here. He's going to meet us in the clouds. We're going to a wedding supper. And have you been born again? Have you been saved? Do you know where you go when you die?
Amen.
If you've got any question about that, contact us. We'll help you with that. Okay? Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.